worship team for leading us in worship today. Thanks, Vicky. I appreciate it. Okay, we actually will start with the announcements because we skipped and sometimes, I mean, always we want to send again missions team. It's almost 11. I'm late. That doesn't matter. I'll be short. I'll be preaching short today. Let's pray for the Word of God. Father, we pray that you open our hearts as we open the Word of God so you can speak to us. We pray that this will not be just head knowledge, but you would touch our hearts and change our lives and draw us near to you. We pray that we humble ourselves before you and we admit that we need change. We need you to work in us. So we pray that this Word will truly speak and impact us today. Amen. Okay, so as you know, we're going through the book of Matthew, but just the chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And the theme was, as we talked in the past, was character precedes power. God wants to build in us character before he gives us the power to do what he has called us to do. Before to go into that, have you heard of this thing called fake news? You know, what does that mean to you? Just a few ideas. Fake news. See what? CNN. Yeah, you know, we cannot, I'd rather not name names here, but, you know, it's something in our hearts that gets so upset sometimes or frustrated when we hear or we think about the idea of fake news. When someone who should report truth and, you know, be objective and everything has a slant and gives just partial and whatever just to create a fake image. That's fake news, you know, creating a fake image of, that it's not actually true, you know, and selling it to people as a truth. And that bothers us. And it's not just us, actually. It bothered Christ, too, because this is not a new problem. Although back in the day, they did not have, you know, TV stations, no naming names. They had fake news, even back in the day, you know. We've read chapter 5, and now we're going to chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. And you've seen over there that, you know, we've seen this. God calling us to a transformed character. Not an improved character, a transformed because of Christ. And in this we have, you know, I don't have to look back. Thank you, Mike. I keep looking back, but I can look actually over there. You know, in chapter 5, when God spoke about righteousness, he spoke about kindness and purity and love and humbleness and meekness and the pursuit of God and his righteousness, you know. Now in chapter 6, it shifts a bit from our attitude to our actions. We'll see here some examples about actions we should do for God, like giving or praying or fasting. But there's something about that that God is, I mean, the Lord Jesus was just not happy. He wanted to see a change in the way people behaved, you know. There's one principle there, and this is the principle. Sorry, I keep turning. I'll get used to this. You know, the principle is this: be genuine in your righteousness. Or, I don't like negative statements, but this is it. You know, don't be fake news. Don't put up an image that's not true just to get, you know, reaction or buy-in from people, you know. Just be genuine in your search for God and your righteousness. That is the principle. It says here, verse 1, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 1. You know, there is a contrast, actually. If you read chapter 5, verse 16, it says there, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And now it says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others. Why the contrast? Chapter 5 says, live out a life that is seen and is a, you know, people see what you do. You know, make sure that they actually do see what your life is like. And now it says, don't. Do you see the contrast there? You know, why is that? Why do we see, you know, two different chapters, the same idea? One says, before others, you know, let your light shine before others. And now it says, be careful not to practice righteousness before or in front of others. Where is the problem? It's in us, not in God. Don't worry. It's in us. But where is the problem? It's the heart. I was chatting with my wife this morning about all this idea about being fake or being genuine. And it's just a matter of the heart. Why do you do what you do? In chapter 5, it says we should be salt and light so that people can see God and glorify Him because of what they see in our lives. That life was lived for God, for men, but not for them. You know, in front of people, but not for the people. Not to show off or present an image and just get some reactions. No, it was just a genuine life that is observed by others. In chapter 6, actually, it speaks about those who live a life just to be seen by others. You know, because one of the major issues of religion or just life is this. It has lost all of its life. That was the biggest problem of the religious life in those days, is that it had lost all of its life. You know, it was lifeless. Lots of forms, lots of rituals, lots of things being done, but no life at all. And that was a big, big problem, and Christ is addressing it. One says, be careful not to practice your righteousness before others. And now he gives us examples. And the first example is, the applications are giving, prayer, and then fasting. And let's start with the first one. Giving. Or the old word, alms. I like that King James word. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. What was the problem? The problem was hypocrisy. You know, what is a hypocrite? In those days, it was the person, it was actually the word for actor. You know, they would wear those masks that would, you know, put before their faces, and they would show something else than what was behind. The word from actor was adopted into, you know, I think we have in English the phrase two-faced. We have it in Romanian for sure, but probably it's in English. A person that has two faces, one that's fake but it's visible, one that's real and it's not seen usually. That's the word of hypocrite. Those who do stuff to impress others, but they actually are fake. You know, fake news if you want. Actors, wearing masks, or if you want, vanity, just putting a mask on for the sake of vanity. I found this quote, I think it was D.A. Carson wrote, a ravenous hunger for the praise of men. Just a ravenous hunger for the praise of men became the besetting sin of the Pharisees. We like to be liked. I like to be liked. Let's be honest. Everybody probably, if you're a normal person, you like applause, approval, to be successful, to be, you know, to do stuff that people actually enjoy. It's in our nature. But sometimes we start to manipulate that so we can get that applause, you know, that high. You know, like when you post something on Instagram and then or Facebook, and then you go and look at how many likes do I get. And whenever you get a like, you get that emotional high, you want more of it. Some of the Pharisees, they would do actions, like in this case, giving to the poor, not because they cared for the poor, but because they liked the applause of men when they performed those actions. So basically in those days, they would just blow the trumpet. I mean, they said, when the temple had a specific need, they would blow the trumpets of the temple so people would come and contribute for that specific need. So when the trumpets were heard, some people would just drop everything and run to the temple to be seen by others and then drop money so the people know, oh, that person is so generous to the temple of God. But it's the heart that matters. You know, remember that instance when Christ was with the disciples at the temple, and there were two people, a Pharisee and a poor woman. And one gave a large sum of money, and one gave just 2 coins. But what was the difference? Remember, there was one phrase at the end there. It says, she gave what? All she had. And Christ said, what about the woman? She will be remembered throughout the ages for what she has done. Because it was the heart, not the amount of money, not what, not how much you give, but the heart of the one who gives. And it's so easy to know that, oh, yeah, I wrote the biggest check. Or, you know, I used the example from my history. People actually donate money to build churches in Romania, Orthodox churches. And then, because they give money, they get their picture painted on the church wall. You know, walk in the church, you look usually to the left, and it's the person who gave the most money is on the wall in the church along with the saints. You know, it's an honor for them. And it's pretty creepy sometimes. You know, you look and it's St. John, St. Matthew, St. whatever, and you find this, it's just vanity. You know, it's just to be seen by others. But is giving a bad thing? You know, is Christ here addressing and saying, don't give? No, he says giving is good. In Proverbs 19:17, it says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. So giving is something that's good. I mean, Paul over and over encouraged the church to just be generous and give, you know. The story of Ruth, remember about, again, the Bible and Bible's provisions. In the book of Ruth, we know that she was able to actually get some of the gleaning of the fields, because the law said, be kind in terms of the orphan, the widow, and the alien, the stranger. You know, alien. You know that word. I'm not talking about aliens, but those who are not from the country. So the Lord told us to be generous to the poor. The problem is, we know that when we give, people are, impressed. And then we like that. It's human. It's the bad human nature that wants that. And the Lord says, don't. Just give. Give it in secret. You know, don't let your left hand know what the right hand is meaning. Don't broadcast it. Don't announce it. Just give. If you want to give, just give. Because God will see. You know, there are some treasures in the secret to be found. It says, in the secret where God sees, he will reward us. And that's a treasure we should seek. Not the applause of men, but the reward that God gives us in the secret. The treasure from the secret places. You know, there's a great example in the book of 2 Corinthians when Paul speaks about them and says this. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. So you don't have to be rich to be generous, you know? They said they were in extreme poverty and still they welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. And this is the important part. They gave themselves first all to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. That's the key phrase. They gave themselves first all to the Lord. When you are all given to God, when your heart is His, when your life is His, giving becomes just a second nature, and you don't do it because people see it. You do it because, I mean, it's in you. It's that new nature that's born in you because of God wants to bless others and wants to bless sacrificially. Not from the abundance that we have. They were poor and still they gave and God blessed them. You know, there are treasures to be found when you stay in the secret, when you do stuff in the secret for the Lord. There are treasures that God will bring to you. We don't know. The Bible, I look for a whole week. What is the reward that God gives in the secret? And no commentator ever dared to describe that reward. Nobody knows. It just says we will be rewarded. Whether it's here in this life, whether it's in the, when we be with Him in heavens, we don't know. But we will be rewarded. There's some rich treasures for those who choose to live for God, even though no one else sees them. Just a small example. I mean, I know we take offering here with checks and envelopes and all that, and that's fine. Back home, we actually had a simple box at the a mailbox actually at the door, and everything was anonymous. You know why? Because of me. I was afraid that if I know how much people give, I'll be, I would value people differently, you know. I was afraid my own fallacy and my own problem with my own sin to, you know, if Mike gives, you know, $1,000 every 2 days and Anna gives, you know, $2 every 2 months, I'll probably, you know, invite Mike more often to lunch or something. You know, it's in my human nature. Yeah. Anyway, bad example, but because I kind of have lunch with her quite often. But I didn't want to know, because if I don't know, I will not have the issue of even having the problem of valuing people differently. So guard your heart. You know where you stand. You know what your your giving is, or just check your hearts. That's the biggest thing. Check your hearts and give. That's the biggest thing. Do not stop giving. Be generous, but do it for the Lord. Do it in the secret, because that's where God will truly, truly reward you. There are so many treasures to be found in the secret, but God is waiting to bless us. The second one, praying. Let's read the verses. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Again, the same word. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. We'll spend the whole next service, next Sunday, on the Lord's Prayer. It's a very important topic, so we won't go deep into that right now. I actually skipped even the whole passage in Matthew 6, because it's going to have a whole Sunday devoted to that. But again, just think about prayer. When you pray, who is your audience? That's a question, actually. Who is your audience when you pray? God, obviously. You know, if you're honest praying Christian, you pray to God. But are you self-conscious of what the others hear? Do you care what the others, how the others perceive your prayers? Dave doesn't. Great job. But some of us do. You know, some of us actually pray so we can be heard by the others. And again, some memories from my past. I used to go a lot with Campus Crusade when I worked for them in Romania, and just be in many churches of different denominations, Brethren, Baptists, Pentecostals, you name it. I was there to support them. And I know that sometimes walking in some of the churches, you'd hear prayer, you know, simultaneous prayer. Everybody together at the same time with a loud voice. And you could just, there were a couple of guys in the church that they would pray louder than anyone else, as if God was like deaf or something. And you knew it. They were not doing it because, you know, they wanted God to hear their prayer first. They were just doing it to just be above the others in voice and strength. You know, I'm more whole because I yell louder than you guys. And I've seen that, to be honest. It happens. You know, when people pray and to impress. You know, I used to work for the military for a few years. And our military, probably not Canadian military, but our military has a way to write to impress, not to express. You know, they write long sentences with fancy words that pretty much no one understands because they're impressive. But it means nothing, you know. The same with prayer. Sometimes we pray, we say these words because we think that they sound holy, but is that truly your heart? You know, that's the question. Do we need fancy words to pray to God? Do we need to have a strong biblical, you know, vocabulary to pray to God? No. We need to just want to meet with him and love him and share with him our burdens, our problems, our sins, our struggles, our joys, and just talk to him, you know. And if you do want to use more, let's say, elaborate language, just read the Psalms. Not the ones where David prays for, you know, his enemies, but the other Psalms. When David seeks the Lord, then just look at the language. He's just honest with God. It's just plain, simple language of a man talking to God as he was face to face. You know, it's not that important, you know, how fancy your vocabulary is. It's just a heart, you know, because the essence of prayer is to seek God, not to be heard by people, but to seek God. And That was the problem of that Pharisaical prayer. They wanted to be praised by men. And that's a, you know, that's when life, religious life, loses all its life. When it's meant to be seen and heard by people, it has no value anymore. You know, and by the way, don't focus on the mechanics of the closet or the secrecy. You know, where to pray or how to pray or how long to pray. You know, just pray. You know, I mean, some of us back home, we grew up not having our own room. There was no room in my home where I could go and pray other than the bathroom. You know, you could, that's the only door you could actually close and be alone, was in the bathroom. And my wife knows that because she's been in the same situation. You know, it doesn't matter where you are. The problem is, the thing is, don't pray to be heard by others. Pray to be heard by God and just enjoy His presence. That's the basic, that's the most important part. You know, there are so many treasures to be seen or to be found when you spend time with God because of Him, because you love Him, because you care for Him, because you need Him. Remember our immense Bible study years ago, we talked about why men pray or why men don't pray sometimes. And we talked, and the conclusion was, when you are aware of your limitations and weaknesses and your total dependence on God, then you pray. When guys like me, when we find, when we know that we have strength and we have, you know, power and whatever, we don't pray because we are in charge. We are in charge. That's sometimes our problem. But when you know who God is and who you are, you want to pray. And you don't pray to be heard by people, sorry. You pray to be heard by God, because that's the most important thing. The third example about, again, the hypocrites, is about fasting. You know, one of the probably not so mentioned disciplines that the church used to practice, and actually the Jews used to practice a lot. Now, today it's not as often met, but it's still in the Bible. It says here, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Again, the same hypocrisy of being fasting to be seen, giving to be seen, praying to be seen, the same thing. It's basically the same lesson in three images. You know, in those days, as is today, people were actually fasting. They're fasting for because they mourned their sin. They fast to for repentance of their sins as a nation. There was one fast that the Bible asked for. That was the Day of Atonement. The whole nation was supposed to fast to admit that they have sinned and they need God for the removal of their sins. You know, Joel. I mean, all of the prophets, but Joel, for example, says, "Even now," declares the Lord, "return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." Or Jonah 3:5. We know when the Ninevites repent, it says here, Ninevites believed God, that was the first step, and a fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. It was a practice back then. And you probably grow up in churches that practice fasting, you know, just because of these things, you know, because we mourn for sin and we ask God to work in our lives. Or, like in the book of Esther, when they prayed and fasted to see God's work at hand in their lives, they sought God's direction and they prayed and fasted. Or in the book of Acts, several times if you read the book of Acts, you see the church used to fast again to seek God's direction, God's face for the next thing. You know, it was a self-denial action in order to seek God and to show God how committed you are in front of Him. It was not asceticism that practiced in the first centuries, where people would live they call them humble life, like in the deserts or whatever, having nothing, thinking that even the very action of giving up, you know, was seen as something important by God. You know, this friend, kind of friend, a guy I used to know, we used to go to some conference together, my friend, my director, an American guy, and this gentleman, and it was a lot of writing, lots of notes, lots of teaching, you know, 8 hours a day for 5 days, and this guy had this pencil, was like this small, you know, like, you know, those pencils, when you use them for a long time, they get this small, and was sharpened like with broken glass. You know, it was like so rudimentary sharpened. It was barely writing. And my friend said, you know, grab this pen. You know, he wanted to give me like a nice, decent, you know, $2 worth ballpoint pen. And the guy said, no, I want to stay humble. I was like, really? We just couldn't understand that, because he was actually, I mean, anyway, it was a wrong perception in my mind, maybe not in God's, I don't know, but in my mind was like, that's not humbleness. That's not when you, when God gives you the help that you need to write, you know, take notes as you should, then you say, no, I want to use this crippled pen because I want to stay humble. There's something wrong with that, you know. Something wrong when you do stuff just to be seen as the humble person, you know. When you have money to buy, let's say, shoes, but you walk with shoes with holes in the soles, just to be seen that you have soles in the hole. Holes in the soles, sorry. That one. You know, it's the same heart attitude, same problem with the heart. You know, I'm saying it again. Christ comes and says, guys, you need to pray. You need to fast. You need to give. But do it because your heart wants to give to God. Your heart wants to pray to God. Your heart wants to show God how much He means to you when you fast. Don't do it to be seen. That's hypocrisy or hypocrisy. That's being an actor. It's being fake news, basically. It's just not being true to what God asks us to, you know, to be. I'll be short. 5 minutes, I'm done. I found this quote as I was studying for today. The demand of Matthew 5 for righteousness is now complemented with the insistence that this righteousness would be not confused with pious ostentation or play-acting piety. D.A. Carson wrote those words, you know. The problem is this. Hypocritical religion is destructive. How many people will choose to come to God when they see you as fake news? No. I was not a Christian back in 91-ish, around there sometimes. I was walking through downtown Bucharest, and I saw this evangelistic thing on the street. You know, a group of like 20 young people, young adults or high school age, I don't know exactly, singing Christian songs in a city square. And something new for me. I never heard that before. So I walked closer, and they were singing, you know, songs. There was something about joy. Maybe, I hope it was not I Have Joy Like a River. I thought it was something more appropriate. But, you know, the American guys, it was two groups, American and Romanian together. So the American kids were like, I have joy like a river. And it was like, there was this amazing attitude that was like almost contagious when you watch them. And next to them was the Romanian choir that sang together, dressed in black, long skirts, you know, scarves and, you know, shirts and ties and, you know, like pretty much I'm today. Not skirt. I don't have a skirt. But, and they're like, I have joy like a river, I have joy like... It's like, that's fake. And I walked away. I simply walked away. And it took me 2 more years to actually find God. You know how I found God? I told you a story before. But again, I met a group of young people. Anna was one of them. And, you know, 15, 20 kids, young adults, whatever. They were playing basketball and volleyball and ping pong together every Saturday. And they had joy. They had something genuine in the way they lived together. And when they spoke about Christ, it was not something about somebody read in a book about somebody else's experience. It was their experience and how God works in their lives. It was so genuine and fresh that it made me jealous. You know? When you live your life for God and people see that, it's just like in Matthew 5:16, people will see your life and they'll praise God for it. The danger is we'd like praises and then we start to live for their applause. So we choose our audience wrongly. Instead of having God as audience, we choose men as audience. And that's just not right, you know. God is warning us, check your hearts. Choose your audience with wisdom, because there's only one that matters. Only one that you need his applauses, you know. I keep repeating this, is that to me, one of the saddest verses in the Bible, John 12:42-43, which says, many of the leaders of the synagogue believed in Christ, but because they were afraid they would be kicked out of the synagogue, they did not testify him because they loved the applause of men more than the applause of God. It's just sad, you know. It's in John, it's in Matthew, it's all over the place, because it's the same thing, you know. There are amazing treasures to be found in secret. When you live your life for God, with God, He will reward you, you know. It's not a praise of men that's the greatest reward. That's short and brief, you know. I don't know where I was yesterday, but there was something going on. Someone was saying these words. Oh, it was Daniel at the men's breakfast. He said about Churchill, how he kept himself humble. When he had large crowds hearing his speeches, he said, he thought, if I were to be hanged today, there'll be twice as many people. Yeah? Remember that, if I were to be hanged today, there'll be twice as many people present. So that kept him kind of humble, you know, even though he had lots of people listening to him, because he knew people, crowds are fickle. They change. One day they love you, one day they hate you. You know, it's only one that never changes. Although he knows you, knows your heart, knows your struggles, knows your sins, knows your victories, he still loves you. You know, I saw this church sign once that said, the government, just like Jesus, knows everything you do. But unlike the government, Jesus still loves you. You know? And that's important. Choose your audience right, because it is one thing that matters in the end. Who is pleased with your life? Whom are you trying to please? Genuine godliness, unfeigned piety, no fake news, you know? Just real people before a real God. And being real means that you may share sometimes your struggles. You heard, you know, our family struggle sometimes. You probably will hear about my own struggles with my life. You know, when I'm not a perfect person. I don't want to put this image of this perfect pastor because I need to get your approval. I want your approval. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you to hate me. I want you to love me. But I'm real. You know, I came late at the breakfast yesterday because I totally forgot about the breakfast. You know, I woke up late and I was tired and my mind was blank, and luckily my phone reminded me there's something going on. I looked and was like, oh, you know, and then I jumped in the car and just drove, and I came late. I was sorry, but it happens. I'm not proud of it. I'm just honest. You know, some things happen sometimes. You know what? I don't want to put the image here that's fake. My son will know that if I'm fake. My wife will know that if I'm fake. And if I say something I don't truly live myself, you will know it. You know, I can fool you for a while, but I cannot fool you forever. The same with you guys. You can try to impress us for a while, and it might actually work for a while, but it won't work forever. You know what? It will never work with God. Just don't try to impress Him. Just be genuine, be real, real people before a real God who loves you anyway. Do you feel that He doesn't love you? It's not true. Do you feel that your sins have pushed Him away from you? It's not true. He knows you, knows your struggles, and He still loves you. He still calls you to come back to Him and say, be real. Live a life of righteousness because of me and for me, and just be real. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that